from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that wants you to be rested so you can put a little love in your heart or put it in the heart of others. The world is going to be, you know, it's our choice to make a world a little bit better place. And I hope to just help you feel a little bit better by getting you some rest, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease the loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Also want to thank, we're able to pay great people like Carl W., the legend who edited this episode. Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios. You got volunteers like Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. He does our lullabies, Jonathan Mann. And I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. I'm trying to give the love you give to me right back and pour it into this show. And we also have volunteer moderators. The listeners have their own Facebook group, but it's so amazing. I link there, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. And it's run by volunteer moderators, like I said, Summer and Sarah, Julie and Jennifer and Stacey, Lauren and Keith. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is try to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, emotions, travel, changes, you're on a trip or someone else is on a trip, or you're just, you know, you just can't get comfortable. Whatever is keeping you awake, that's what the safe place is. It's a place where I can distract you via, you know, rambling, talking about Game of Thrones. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Weightless meanders, you know, like word tripping, sloppy words. If I ever said that before, I got words. I think I've used word slobber before, but sloppy words, mouth, you know, speaking with like my mouth's empty, but too many mouthfuls of a word, you know, like. I've got so many words I can't even come up with one to explain what I'm trying to explain. But if you're new, I'm going to send my voice across the deep dark night. I'm going to use these creaky dulcet tones. I'm going to try to use a slow pace, and I'm going to try to be here. Be at your bedside or across the room in your earbuds or across your speaker, under your pillow, whatever works for you. I'll be here to keep you company until you fall asleep or whatever, you know, however best I can serve you, you know, via this strange digital thingamajig we got going. Here's something that has nothing to do with anything. Whatchamacallit? Maybe I could talk about that. That's a candy bar. But if you're new here, let me set this up first. So if you're new, here's the structure of the show. At the top of the podcast, we got 5 or 6 minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free. And all the archives, 560-something episodes, free. Without the patrons and the sponsors, there wouldn't be a podcast. But if you're new, it's not super important. You know, test the podcast out. If you listen regularly, you know, that's what keeps the podcast here, is the people that participate in those things. But if you're new, that's the beginning. It's kind of a necessity for a sleep podcast to have that at the top. Then we have an intro. This is not a necessity. It's like a 12-minute intro or so where I ramble and kind of display my, you know, my ability to not make any sense. And you can kind of say, huh, this kind of takes my mind off of stuff, but I don't really need to listen. So then you can say, well, okay, this is a podcast that keeps me company, that I don't need to listen to, that's kind of barely entertaining. Okay, I think I get it, or maybe I need to listen a few more times. If you want to cut straight to the Game of Thrones stuff, the timestamp, like estimated timestamp, is in the show notes. But yeah, tonight we'll be talking, then after the intro, we'll talk about the episode of Game of Thrones, any facts that came up, talk to Tom and Pounce, old gods and the new, and we'll say some thank yous. But that's the podcast. It's a podcast to put you to sleep, but you're under no pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here to keep you company. And it's a podcast, so like I said, you don't have to totally pay attention to. But yeah, there's this candy bar called Whatchamacallit. I think some people might know it's in the U.S. And I think I like it. It's not like it's not the most no offense, Whatchamacallit, but you're not the most popular candy bar. Let me just see if I can guess. I think it's a chocolate on the outside. I think it has Rice Krisps in there and caramel and maybe that's it, like Rice Krisps and caramel, maybe some nougat. It's made up of like a lot of Rice Krisps though, like the crunchy stuff, like I think puffed rice is what it is. And I don't know anything about the history. That could be a podcast, The History of Candy Bars, brought to you by Hershey. We've never heard of those other candy. You say, well, what about this candy? Never heard of it. This is the essential history of candy bars by Hershey's. You say, well, what about this one? I had it, never existed. That candy. No. It's an NPR style show where we talk about the essential history of candy bars. And then I remember I was watching a taping of We Got This podcast, and one of their guests was talking about how milk chocolate in Europe is much more tasty. So, but we wouldn't talk about that on the Hershey, you know, the essential history of candy bar. We say, no, only our, you know, never heard of that European milk. We're talking about milk chocolate. The only milk chocolate that's good is the ones covered in this history lesson. I guess it could be branded content. So, but one episode, I guess, would be dedicated to the whatchamacallit, you know, depending on how much they pay. But this podcast is free, so we don't have to worry about it. And also, I don't have any facts. Even if they were branded facts, I wouldn't know. I don't even know what the ingredient is. It's like a strange label, too. It's like a grayish-brown package, and then it says whatchamacallit on there. And then it's a company that owns it, which I assume is the Big H, but I'm not positive. And I think I know I like that candy bar. I don't know if I went through any like phases. I love saying it, whatchamacallit. And I think in the 80s, they did have an ad playing on that. You say, well, what's your favorite candy bar? Whatchamacallit. It would fit just in with this pie. They should be a sponsor, actually. Say, whatchamacallit. That's my favorite. Like, still play on like the who's on first humor. And I don't know if it was a witty branding thing or like maybe a celebrity. You know, because I think like a lot of candy bars, now this might be based on just my ignorance, more than likely, But I think, you know, most candy bars are named by baseball players that were on, like, the New York Seals and the Brooklyn Dodgers. Like, almost all candy bars were named by baseball players. You know, like, baseball players like Soupy Sam and Tin Can Foil. And I think that's so that probably is how it got its name. It said, Tin Can, Soupy, you know, Tin Can, what did you just pitch to no-hitter? And they'd be smoking also. I think they usually smoke cigarettes and had a cocktail. And they'd like say, well, and I'm having this, whatchamacallit. They freaking paid me to eat this. And they say, change the name. If Tin Can Soupy or whatever, you know, that's the name of the candy bar now. Who would have thought you would turn into a sleep podcast for fake news about candy bars? So, like, holy moly. But I do, like, I was trying to think, like, I my candy bar obsession, I was just obsessed with the Score Bar. I don't even know how to spell Score Bar, S-K-I-O-R, maybe. And then I burned myself out of that one. Like, I was obsessed with it when I had a paper out and I could afford to buy them. But then I ate too many. So I don't know if I'll ever have one of those again. And then in high school, I was, like, or maybe middle school, there was a corner store by our school, so they had Charleston Chews. I ate a lot of Charleston Chews, I think I do have an affinity for whatchamacallits. There's also 100 Grand. That's another underrated candy bar. And here's the thing about candy bars like that. Like, sometimes, you know, how often you get a whatchamacallit on Halloween? I mean, come on, like, how about that? You can't get a snack size. Whatchamacallit, not that I know of. Like, 100 Grand you occasionally would, and then some of the other ones. We'll cover all this on the history, the essential history of candy bars, recorded live at Big H Park. We cover all the history, all the history of candy bars. So that's the podcast. So, and ideally, the whatchamacallit commercial would be kind of like the breakfast conversation about this podcast. But for real, you'd say, well, what was that thing Scoots was talking about? I don't know. He kept saying, you know, whatchamacallit, the thing you stick in your feet to get your shoe on. He said, whatchamacallit that thing? You mean a shoehorn? Yeah. And then he was pretending. Then he was talking about foghorn leghorn. And then I think I fell asleep. I don't know. You look so, like, devastating today. Oh, boy, you look great. I say, oh, thanks, honey. You do, too. I didn't even know. He was talking about foghorn leghorn, huh? Yeah, he was saying he would like to create a foghorn leghorn shoehorn. And I think that's what he was talking about. Though he could have been talking about paper planes. I can't remember which one. I think maybe he was talking about a bottle brush. Maybe. I don't know. Oh, boy. Let's go. What a day. I'm so ready to take on today because I slept so good because I had Scoots. And I can't wait to drive to work and listen to that candy bar podcast he was talking about. Oh, that doesn't exist because the Scoots actually filed. He used that. He's coming out with inside the essential. Like, that was a strategy. Because he was trying to break up the candy monopolies. So he was undercover doing that podcast. And now he's going to do a podcast about that. What's he going to call it? He's calling a candy bar undercover. Well, I thought he already wrote some erotic fiction about that, about candy bars. Or maybe I was asleep. Maybe that was a dream. Oh, that Scoots, he's having you dream erotically candy bars. What a gem. And by the way, excuse me, couple, enjoy your breakfast. Thanks for that great podcast. By the way, Candy Bar Undercover is going to be trademarked. And just to reassure all you, it will be available in both forms. My undercover investigative podcast, it's imaginary. And, you know, Anna is a After Dark story, Candy Bar Undercover. That's all I have so far, but I'm working on it. And that's the intro. Like, so if you're new, give the podcast a few tries. This isn't for everybody. You know, I got creaky dulcet tones and I talk about strange stuff. I go off topic. I take forever to get there. you know, I'm usually sorely mistaken when I tell, you know, but it, like, it's done with the greatest of heartfelt desire to help you. Like, the people this podcast can help, I'm so happy it does. A lot of people say it starts working on their second or their third try. So I hope it helps you, because I've been there unable to sleep. So as they say in every opening, I appreciate you coming by, and I really hope and I really yearn to help you fall asleep. All right, thanks.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody. We're talking about season, what is it? I don't know. Season six, are we in? I forgot that. But it's episode 5, Eastwatch. And it opens with Smoke on the Water, which I think is a song, but I didn't look that up for the facts. But out of it's a great view. That's what I put first before I get to what's happening, of water with smoke in the distance. And we can tell, which is nice. I was happy about this, really, from a fan perspective, that it got right to the conclusion of the last episode right away. They didn't leave us hanging. And I was very surprised by that. I thought, I was like, are we going to have to wait a whole episode? But not until episode 6 to find out what happened? Or are they going to show us right off the bat? And they said, hey, right off the bat, we're going to show you. And show us that they did, because Bron comes out of the water, then he pulls Jamie out of the water, and they lie on the shore catching their breath. They're exhausted, and Jamie's like, man, you could have, what were you thinking, Bron? We get not a lot of screen time of Jamie, but Jamie's really stretching, if you use the term emotional journey. Jamie's got quite the emotional journey he goes on in this episode. Well, I guess he does get a lot of screen time too. Yeah, but this is where his journey begins, I guess, at the beginning of the episode, really a rebirth in some sense. And he's mad at Bron for stopping him from going after the Khaleesi. And Bron's like, WTF, bro, what were you doing? And Jamie's like, trying to win the war. And Bron's like, yes, he goes, there's a dragon there. And also Jamie's hand looked extra gold in the mud, because mud washes off of gold easier. This is a saying too, mud washes off gold easier than, I guess it's a metaphor, because you just build your own metaphor there. But he says, you like the Bronson movie that's getting remade, I believe? He goes, that was risky, overly risky on purpose, Ron believes. And he goes, until I get my castle, you're not going, no dragons, no Khaleesis, only me you have to answer to. And then what does this say? You're fed, F-E-D, I put, capital F, too. Let me get the closed captioning on here. Episode just started on this end. But I don't know what he says. You're only me, and then you're fed. And then Jamie goes, I got to go tell Cersei. And Bron's like, you might as well just jump in the river. Let me see if I can figure out that you're fed. Oh, Jamie's like, that was only one dragon. She's got two more. Oh, and now Bron goes, you're effed. That's what F-E-D means. And Jamie's like, what do you mean you're? And Bron goes, I'm not dealing with any dragons. I'm no fool. And then we get another great quiet moment. The season's had these wonderful quiet moments. 5:45, Jamie's sitting on the shore alone, and the camera pulls into his back, just watching the smoke and the fire. really like mood setting, I guess, for, especially, I didn't realize it for his journey this episode, or the journey I'm going to project onto him. Then we have Tyrion walking through the ash, a bit like what was that? I don't know. It's like he's walking through the ash. And then there's a meeting up at the big rock with the big dragon, Drogon. And there's lots of dragon sound effects. And Khaleesi's straight with the Lannister soldiers. She's like, I'm well aware of the xenophobia stuff Cersei's peddling. And that's not me. She goes, that's just like what she's telling you. She goes, you bend the knee? I'm going to take that big wheel that keeps on turning and, you know, break it. Make this world a better place. So she says, who's in? Then the dragon yells, and everyone but the Tarleys and some of the Tarly loyalists kneel. And big Tarly, whatever his name is, big jerk Tarly says, we don't kneel. We're buying what Cersei's selling. He says, I have a queen. And by the way, she was born in Westeros and lived here. And I said, holy, like, it's just wild, the intersections here. And Tyrion calls him out. He says, it wasn't your queen last week. And Tarly goes, well, then he turns to xenophobia stuff. And then Dickon says, I love my dad, and I have the same pride my dad has. And Khaleesi goes, well, that's not going to work out too well. You got a choice. Go ahead and make your choice. And she goes, okay, that's it. Charlie's out. And Tyrion tries at least two or three times to, like, intervene on his behalf and get a lighter deal. And I wonder how subtle this is. This is some sort of subtle people with royal blood. Like, is this some sort of self-preservation thing that we're going to see, like a little tiny string where Tyrion's like, well, I'm not comfortable watching these are the royals. I'm a royal. They're royals. Let's get a little nice, was 0.01% or whatever. Also, this is a little humor I put in here. It's a good thing Sam has that sword. Anyway, I mean, for real. And he's still a Tarly, and he's the best Tarly in my book. Also, Khaleesi says they made a choice at 11:02. Dragon Tail is on screen. It is so cool. A great effect. Holy cow. Great touch, really. Like, they didn't have to put it on there, and they did, and it was wonderful. So then the Tarlys are out. Everyone else is like, okay, we're with you, Khaleesi. And Khaleesi has her ice cold look, and Tyrion has Tyrion's worried look. And then we see Jaime walking fast in a hallway. That's another thing for this season. Jaime and halls, season six. I mean, that could be I think enough people would watch. He's a handsome man. I haven't looked at his behind, but, I guess I have all season walking down halls. And he rushes by Qliburn, and there's two Qliburn moments that I didn't quite, I guess it makes sense in the end, but Cersei says, how many men did we lose? And Jaime's like, we haven't done an accounting yet. And Cersei's like, no worries, we'll buy some more soldiers. We got the gold stuff, and we got the loan stuff. And Jamie's like, not with the Dothraki. It's not going to work. Also, there's dragons, by the way. Did you hear about the dragons? Because that's a pretty big deal. And really some high-level performing by Cersei. She says, this scene in a later scene. The later scene is just, spectacular. Almost on the level when her and Olana are alone. One or two seasons ago. But she says, what are we going to do, sue for peace? And he says, well, sort of. She goes, what sort of offer do you think she would make with her dragons? And then Jaime tells on Olana, and Cersei's like, wasn't that, Oh, she doesn't even buy it. He goes, yeah, with Joff, she's the one who ruined Joff's wedding, not Tyrion. And she goes, oh, so kind that you gave her that wine then. And Jaime's like, who would you want your kid to marry, Joffrey or Tommen? And then he, like, makes an excuse, to control. And Cersei sits there. She's chilled. Like, and I don't mean, like, chill, like, we should kick him back with a joint. Like, I mean, chilled. And she says, I shouldn't have listened to you. And I think I wrote, I know my choice, but I'm going to see if I can pick it out. Like, maybe she said, I know my place, because she says, we're going to stand and do battle here. And she goes, and a soldier should know his. Yeah, she did say, I know my choice, and a soldier should know his. And Jamie, like, it's a heartbroken swallow look. Then we have the Return of the Dragon and Jon Snow, looking pensive out on the bluffs. Drogon looks spectacular. And what does this say? Drogon does, oh, Gary Gygax, looks like an AD&D cover, which was cool. Does that up to Jon. Then he sniffs him and Jon pets him. At least he can't get a good look at what's happening. And at least on the face, it's very elephant-like, the Drogon. I wonder if it feels like an elephant. And we see Drogon's eye looking at Jon. And Khaleesi's totally impressed, which will look kind of as another thread of this episode. And Jon's kind of blown away from interacting with the dragon. And Drogon goes into the sky. And Khaleesi's like, beautiful, aren't they? He goes, oh, yeah, not what I was thinking. They're beautiful beasts. She goes, they're my children. They're beautiful to me. And Jon goes, hey, you weren't gone very long. She's like, nope. And he goes, and she goes, yep, less bad guys to deal with now. And Jon goes, like Tyrion. And she goes, you know what, sometimes strength is terrible, Jon, and you know that from last season. And he goes, and she goes, by the way, what's up with that Davos creeping out my interpreter, one? Two, is he going to not mansplain anything this episode? And three, did he say something about you and your hearts? And he's like, oh, it's just a figure of speech. She goes, I'm the Khaleesi, bro. And then they're interrupted, and there's a sweet Dothraki reveal of Ser Jorah. This felt like a Star Wars trailer, to be honest. I don't know when, they started recording all the cool stuff on bluffs, but, dude, keep it up. As we'll see at the end of the episode, there's nothing that, the only thing that looks better than dudes on bluffs and Khaleesi's on bluffs is, in the blizzard snow. Yeah, you think if Ser Jorah would only stay on bluffs and snow, he would have had a chance getting out of the friend zone. Yeah, but holy friend zone, Ser Jorah's back. He kneels right away. He sees Jon, and she goes, this is my old friend. And she goes, you look strong. And, this is a little bit, even though this is a great reunion, it still is a little heartbreaking on Jorah's behalf. And she goes, you got that dragon scale dealt with? He goes, it wouldn't be here if I didn't. And he goes, I'm here to return if you'll have me. And she goes, as a friend, I'll have you back. And Jon frowns. Also, there's a couple, I might as well propose this right now. And the third watch of this episode this morning, there's a lot of a lot of looks from Ser Jorah. So I don't know if he's a proxy for the audience, the audience that might be doubtful about Jon and Khaleesi's burgeoning attraction, or if he just doesn't want to be in the friend zone. But he gives a lot of looks, which I think would be how a lot of audience members are. I'm not buying into this. I'm not down with this. Or whatever. So that was just a question I had. Is he a pariah? I guess we'll see over the next two episodes, or maybe he's not. Yeah, but so then Bran, we see the Crow Patrol. Bran's on the Crow Patrol. And he sends the crows past a wall, through the mountains, into the mist. And we see a lot of people from the north with the walkers on the hill. They break up the Crow Patrol. And Bran comes out of it, and the maester's standing right there. And Bran goes, send the ravens, yo. Then there's a meeting in Old Town of all the maesters, and they're talking about prophecies of doom. And just like any, like, university or whatever, there's always, like, a mutton chop, like, know-it-all that's got, like, this cynical humor. And I like to call it intellectual bullying myself, but, you know, let's not go down that road. But that dude's not on my favorites list. And they're talking about a magical three-eyed raven and a kid, how bad the North is, maybe it dulled the maester's wits with the cold, the drink, and the company. And Sam's like, I know a three-eyed raven named Bran. And they go, yeah, it's a bit much. And then his main guy, his kind of the main maester, the archmaester, says, and what do you want, Tarly? He goes, well, that kid survived north of the wall for like years. So something's going on. And Sam, he says, what should we do? What does that say? Perhaps. And then Mutton Chop says, perhaps you need more transcribing. And then this is another scene like talking about current events. I'm positive it is. Different than cold, more warm current events. Sam says, maesters are trusted. If you tell everyone the threat is real, like, people believe it and take you seriously. And the archmaester says, it could be done. It's possible. And this could all be true. Or, you know, this is or it could be a ploy by the Dragon Queen. You know, that there's magic birds and all that. And Sam says, come on, please, it's real for sure, Archmaester. And Archmaester says, well, we'll get clarification from the dude up there, Wolkin. And then they kick Sam out, and then they make some jokes. Let me see the jokes about, they say, remember Jenny of Old Stones, who was a charlatan from the Children of the Forest, and Lodos, and they have a laugh, Prophet Lodos, oh boy. Who said they laugh at Lodos. So that was good. And then he leaves and they say, well, he's a good kid, actually. Then we see a scroll tap, tap, tapping, and it's Varys. He has a scroll. Tyrion and Varys drink, and I think they're doing moral equivocation or whatever. I talk about it in the facts, or I will. Because Varys says, I'm only a purveyor of information, you know, I wasn't really doing anything wrong. As Tyrion's trying to unpack, you know, the Khaleesi and how to control her. And he goes, well, she's not really her father. Then Varys is like, you got to make her listen. And there is a theory I have, or suspicion, like, that'll bring up now. Is Varys on the inside? Because, where is Qyburn getting his information from? Or is that just a coincidence? So it's just something I want to put out there. I don't suspect Varys until this, but this was strange. I mean, and the Red Woman weirding him out doesn't help. He goes, what's that scroll? He goes, oh, it's from the north. And Tyrion says, what does it say? He goes, it's a sealed scroll for the King of the North. And then there's like another nice beat of quiet. And Tyrion goes, yeah, right. What does it say? And he goes, nothing good. Then we cut to the Jon holding the scroll. And he goes, geez, I thought Arya and Bran were gone. But, you know, this says they're around. And Khaleesi says, I'm happy for you. And Jon goes, I got to go home. And Khaleesi goes, you don't have the troops to go home. And he does this move that anybody's like, I think he's good at it because he's Jon Snow. But he goes, oh, we'll be fine, Khaleesi. We don't need all your soldiers and dragons and stuff. You know, I'm just going to go. And you can see this whole scene. There's a lot of looks exchanged. And if you watch Ser Jorah, a lot of humor in this scene, too. But then, like he says, well, what else am I going to do? And she goes, well, I got to deal with Circe. And then Tyrion says, perhaps not. Maybe we could prove her wrong and bring down one of the North dudes to her. They're like, is that possible? And they say, well, like, it's possible, but we need to get to her. We need an audience, maybe Jaime. And then at 2650, they say, well, how would we even get into King's Landing? And everyone turns to Davos. It's really funny. And Davos says, well, I could do it, but I'm not a fighter. That comes up a lot. And they go, well, how do you propose to go get somebody? And then Ser Jorah says, with the queen's permission, like, I'll go do it. And this is where, like I could say that it's clear that the Daenerys's feelings towards Jon, you know, with his whole self-sacrifice routine. Because Davos says, well, Ser Jorah, he goes, the free folk aren't going to follow Ser Jorah. And Jon goes, they won't have to, man. We're going to be on it. And Khaleesi, she's really like, she seems enthralled, I would say. She like, and there's also like a lot of looks from Jorah at her looks. Let's see, it's rolling right now. This is where Jorah says it, and then Jon says, yeah, the free folk will help us. They know the North. And he goes, yeah, they won't have to. Even Davos looks at Jon. But yeah, Khaleesi's face, her lips just part, and she's breathing. They're both making serious eye contact. And Davos is like, you can't do that. That's too heroic, man. And he goes, I know it. And then we see Khaleesi. She goes, I haven't given you permission. He goes, I don't need permission from you or anybody. He goes, I trusted you as a stranger. And, like, because I wanted to, you know, I took a risk in trusting you. Now I need you to take a risk in trusting me, a stranger or formerly a stranger. Cause we got to help everybody. And, you know, and really, like, there's a pull into Khaleesi. Like, now she's got a poker face on and she's sinking. And then she moves her eyes to Tyrion. And he says, well, it was the only way, kind of his look. And she nods. A lot of breathing, a lot of throat movement. I didn't see Ser Jorah's looks there, though. Then we have trouble in Winterfell. Everybody's like, we should have chose you, Sansa. All our knights came from the Vale for you, Lady Stark. And she goes, yo, Jon's the king, not me. And Arya's watching. No one's happy. Arya grins. It seemed like Sansa, like, I really feel for Sansa in this situation. I don't know why, like, and to be honest, Arya is one of my favorite characters, but, I don't know, I'm getting a twinge with Arya. So then Sansa and Arya are walking the halls, and Sansa's like, this isn't easy. And Arya's like, you didn't stand up for Jon. And then they go into the room. She's like, WTF, this is mom and dad's room. You're sleeping in here. And Sansa says, is that a problem? And she goes, never mind. And then Sansa says, well, tell me what the problem is. Tell me what you mean. But Arya takes that as, so let me be mean. She goes, you always wanted nice things and to be, you know, like on Tiger Beat posters. And you just sat there. That's when she said you didn't stand up for Jon. And Sansa's like, you weren't here. Like, it wasn't easy. We had to work as a team. And, like, I just didn't quite get this scene. Like, I think it'll pay off. It makes sense. But she's like, work together. Arya's like, yeah, that's just what you really want. And even Sansa's like, what? Like, and maybe there's some truth. You know, that Sansa's still a social climber. But I feel like this is like this question that maybe will be answered. I guess like there's still more to uncover in the episode, so I'll talk about it in a few minutes, I guess. Yeah, but then Arya goes, M'lady, and she's out. Then we see King's Landing, and Davos and Tyrion pull up, and he's like, last time, you know, I dealt with my dad. And Davos is like, well, it's the last time you dealt with my son. And Davos puts a spike in the ground instead of an anchor. And they say, well, geez, so he goes, just go up the steps and sneak in. And Tyrion goes, where are you going? He goes, I got me own business in Fleabottom. You got me own business. And Tyrion's like, what about the boat? He goes, what if it's gone? And then Davos goes, then we're aft, man. So you best hurry. And then we're below the castle and with Bronn, and he's like, let's get training, Jaime. He's got a torch. And Jaime's like, why? Like, not right now. We got stuff to do. He goes, oh, no, no. He goes, yeah, let's get practicing. You're out of shape. And he goes, Jaime goes, okay. And he goes, well, let's get swinging. And he goes, oh, no, you're not swinging at me. And then he's like, here's your brother, Tyrion. And Tyrion, like, kind of opens with, geez, Jaime, you really outsmarted me. You're three steps ahead of me. Father would have been proud. Jaime looks, in a wonderful way, terrible in this scene. Like, he's really sunk. And because he really is, like his belief system's kind of crumbled. Because he's always just seemed to believe in Cersei. And, but, you know, she knows that. She knows, don't worry, she's a lot smarter than I am. So, but I really love how they made him look in the acting. Really, really wonderful stuff. He says, well, geez, I'm sick of you, Tyrion, man. Like I told you, if I saw you again, I'd give you a spanking. Yeah, Jaime looks so exhausted and torn, triple explanation point. He goes, yeah, I was going to, and Tyrion goes, oh, take a while with the sparring sword. And then Tyrion tries to get a little bit of vindication and connection with him, like with personal stuff. And Jaime goes, personal stuff? What do you want? And he goes, I want you to agree with to certain terms. Jaime goes, bend the knee? And Cersei won't do that. He goes, not right now. We got more important things. And then we cut to Sword Street or Steel Street or something. Davos is on the prowl. At 33:15 in the background, a dude puts on a barrel backpack. I thought that was sweet. I'm sure those will be hitting the streets of where I live, Oakland and Alameda and Brooklyn soon. Barrel backpack. You know, carry your stuff. It won't get, you know, it's protective. You could keep cool drinks in there. It's a backpack. It's a barrel. It's a barrel backpack. You know, sustainable wood. But he said, then Davos says, wasn't sure. This one we could kind of see coming. I mean, also, if you watch the credits, you saw the dude's name. But he says, I wasn't sure I'd find you here. And then there's a Gendry reveal, which I was wondering how this was going to occur. And it seems like it occurred organically because of the storytelling process, which is cool, instead of being a shock, like a reversal. So I like this way they introduced Gendry back in. And Davos says, I thought you'd be still rowing. And, Gendry says, you look awful, man. And he goes, nothing F's you like time does, man. And he says, you been in any trouble? He goes, yeah, no. He goes, well, trouble's a permanent state or something. Or something. I don't know. I can't read my handwriting. Any trouble? Nope. Or safety's in a never present state or something. And he goes, I think I got to talk to you about going on. And Gendry's like, let's go. He goes, well, I was going to try to convince you to come. He goes, yeah, let's, I got my bag ready. I've been ready. I've been waiting. And then he goes, I'm going to bring a sword. He goes, Davos goes, bring a sword. He goes, no, I got a hammer, man. And then they get down to the boat, and Davos goes, keep everything quiet about yourself. Then the gold cloaks come, and he starts calling him Clovis. Then he goes back to his old tricks. He pays off the guards. He goes, is it still 5 gold dragons? And he goes, no, it's 15 now, apiece. And they go, what's in the boat? He goes, fermented crab, not more gold, he says. And he goes, fermented crab, which is like their version of Viagra. He goes, it'll put a hole in your chainmail. And then Tyrion shows up and Gendry has to handle things. Davos goes, this is Gendry. And Tyrion goes, he'll do. Then we see Jaime walking. He walks in on Cersei and Qyburn. And Clyburn goes, Sir Jamie? And Doer who? And I can't read my writing, but it'll come up. This is a great, great scene. Oh, they were talking about something. They were whispering. I couldn't tell. That'll do or something. And he goes, what's he doing in here? And she goes, he's the hand of the queen. Why are you here? And 40-40, she gives a look on Tyrion. She sits down. She's a... He goes, I was meeting with Tyrion. Her look gets matched by his look. And then there's, like he does, he moves his head to give her another look. And she goes, what did our brother have to say? It was such a wonderfully delivered line. And he goes, Daenerys wants to meet and armistice. And Cersei goes, why would she? And he goes, well, there's an army from the north of trouble. And Tyrion's got proof. And she laughs and nods, looks around, laughs again. She goes, are you going to punish him? And Jaime goes, who? And she goes, Bronn, he betrayed you. What did our brother have to say? I love that line. And she goes, I know everything that happens in the city, dude. And then Jaime goes, why? And she goes, well, this will be good for us. We can get sneaky. We can get crafty. This will be in our immediate interests, just like father. We're going to fight just like father would. And then another classic line. Dead men, dragons, and dragon queens. Whatever stands in our way, we'll beat it. We'll defeat it for ourselves, for our house, and for this bun I got up in my oven. And then Jamie's belief system's restored, I guess. She's like, I'm preggers. And Jamie's back in it. He's just so relieved, I think, even to have something to believe in again. Maybe he looks a little conflicted, but also happy. He goes, well, people aren't going to like that. You can tell them who the father is. She goes, oh yeah. And she goes, remember what father would say, the lion doesn't care what the sheep say or something. And they hug and, she goes, never betray me again. And Jamie, like at first he's happy. He kind of still has a little bit of a shocked look on his face. Like, oh boy, am I in trouble? Which, yeah, I mean, come on, dude. Yeah, then we have Clovis and Davos. He says, make sure you go by Clovis. Don't harass John. He's like a celebrity around here. Don't admit, don't. And then Gendry goes, I'm Robert's son, Gendry, bastard's son. And they kind of share a few moments talking about their dads and how they didn't really know them or, Gendry didn't. And then, I don't know, they have a moment, and Gendry's like, I'm in this thing, and he goes, well, what about a sword? He goes, I prefer a hammer, and Davos is like, well, I prefer to be a coward for a minute, and old. He goes, again, I can't fight really good, and then what does this say? Like, this is literally what my handwriting says. I will interpret it. Gendry, I can't watch. Nobody mink one. I mean, I assume it's I can't wait, and nobody mink one, though. But he's like, Davos is like, Gendry can handle himself. He's got the hammer thing. Coward for a minute. This is what they're talking. Well, there's no problem for a hammer. John looks at Davos. Yeah, he can handle himself here. Davos has got quite the eyebrows. John says, yeah, we could use the help. And this is, you better be for a coward for a minute than at the big farm. Maybe it's like Gendry's like, you're double my father figure. You're my, and then Davos is like, you're my son figure. Can't wait out this war. Oh, Davos says, yeah, nobody mind me. All I've ever done is live to a ripe old age. Nobody mink one. Nobody mind me. Okay, then they're starting to push the boats out and say their goodbyes, and Tyrion goes up to Jorah. He goes, I'm going to miss you, man. Nobody glowers like you. He goes, this is the coin we bought our freedom with. Bring it with you, but bring it back. And then we have another moment, like with Jorah and Khaleesi. She says farewell. It's kind of painful for me. I guess to somebody, like, that truly does end up in the, it's been, like, in the friend zone a bunch of times, like, it's like, holy cow, like, you feel for Jorah. Like, it's like, I don't know. It just is, but he kisses her hands as he sees his rival, John. And John's kind of glib because he's not in the friend zone. He can afford to be glib. But yeah, again, I don't know where this is going. That's why I love this show so much. I don't know where we're being led, especially with the Ser Jorah stuff and with the Arya stuff. At least the Ser Jorah stuff, it's just soap operatic in a way. But John goes, yo, I'm rolling out. If I don't come back, you don't got to worry about me. And I got to tell you, when the Khaleesi's in love, she looks 100 times more beautiful. And I'm not just saying that. Like, this scene, it was just something about, she goes, I've grown used to the king in the north. And I was just great acting. Because I fell in love with the Khaleesi being in love. And then Jorah kind of stares back, one last look. Then we have Sam and Gilly, 47:30. Could have been an episode of Sleep With Me. Gilly's like listing off facts about steps in the Citadel and how many windows were in the 15,782 steps in the Citadel. How many windows in the Sept of Baylor? I don't know if she answers this. Let's find out. Sam's like, there's no windows, zero. And she's reading this book by High Septon Maynard, which seemed like it was important because it was talking about Aegon. But Sam gets so fed up. He goes, it's hero time. He goes, give this book to the kid. I'm going to thief some books. There's great music. And he's really had a great season. I've been really happy, like, with the story they've given him. And it's been essential, I guess, to the overall story. But he, steals all the books. And he's, again, a nice moment. He stops and looks back at the library. And he kind of lets his future and his dreams go in a heroic way. He's the heroic Charlie. We already knew that. But he says goodbye to the library. And then he packs up their cart. And Gilly's like, are you sure about this? And he goes, I'm tired of reading. Which every librarian in the world said, what? He goes, no, reading about heroic acts. I got to do heroic acts. And then we have this other thread with Arya. It's Winterfell. There's whispers going on with Baelish and people. And Arya's watching from the shadows. Baelish has got super long sleeves. He really looks like a Sith Lord. For seasons he has. I guess you could say the same, like his Sansa, like his Padawan, but hope not. And he meets with old Breastplate and the Maester. And him and the Maester are talking, and then Baelish goes into his room, locks up with his scroll that is the only copy. And Arya busts in his room. Now, I have to, I'll tell you what happened, then I'll talk about it. Arya busts in his room, searches his place. He's got tons of paper products. And scrolls and stuff. So I don't know if he's researching a book or what, but she finds the scroll. And I even put, it said something about, from Sansa, about swearing fealty to Joffrey, I think. And Sansa gets a look, and then she leaves the room, but Baelish is watching the whole time from the shadows. And this is my thing. She's a faceless person now, so I don't buy that, I just don't know. I hope that she would have teamed up with Brienne and that she's not getting paid. They're playing Baelish. That's the Baelish move I talked about. So maybe they are following that, which is like you let yourself, you let Baelish think he's playing you to play Baelish. But I think Baelish would even know that. But whatever. He's trying to stir up trouble. It's clear. That he has machinations going on. So I don't know how this is going to turn out. And I also don't know who Baelish is really loyal to. He even says it's his obsession with Kate and Sansa, but I don't even buy that. Also, what's up with the sleeves? That's just not a good idea. I guess for keeping warm it is, but I guess it's like a sleeve scarf. Anything else? Any other comments on that? I think that's it. Then we see the boats land. We see Eastwatch by the sea. We see Tormund. Tormund's back in town. And they're having a meeting. He goes, aren't you guys supposed to talk John out of these crazy ideas? Or he says that to Davos. Davos goes, well, I'm failing at that. And he goes, which queen are you trying to deal with? The one that sleeps with her brother or the one with the dragons? And John's like, both. He goes, how many men you got? He goes, this many. And then he goes, and the big woman? And his eyebrow goes up. It was such a brilliant. And this was a little bit overkill because this is like the third time Davos, I got bad feelings for Davos because he's getting, like, he goes, I'm a liability. And Tormund goes, yes, you are. So Tormund's like, geez, well, you're not the only ones trying to get north of the wall. And then at 55:45, we have this great scene, really one of the great Game of Thrones scenes ever. They go down and like locked up, the Hound's laying there, and Jon goes, you're the Hound. The Hound stands up all irritated, and Jon goes, yeah, I saw you once. The Hound's like, yeah, what up? And then Tormund's like, they want to go beyond the wall. And then Beric Dondarrion's like, we don't want to. We got to go back beyond the wall. And Gendry goes, these guys sold me to a witch. You can't trust them. They're the worst. And then Davos, this is where it gets complicated. Jorah sees Thoros a mirror, and he goes, Thoros, what's up? And Thoros is like, dude, I can't drink in here, and it's cold. It's the worst. And then Tormund goes, you're a Mormon. He goes, that guy was a Lord Commander. He hated it, northern people. And him and Jorah kind of have a moment. Dondarrion says, here we all are all together at the same moment, heading the same direction for the same reason. And then Davos goes, well, not technically the reasons are different. He goes, okay, the reasons are different, but... He goes, don't you think there's a greater purpose at work and we serve it together? Starts pacing around. Whether we know it or not, he goes, and then the Hound goes, would you be quiet? Are we going north or what? And Jon goes, don't you want to know what we're doing? And Thoros Amir goes, it's better than sitting in a cell freezing. And Jon goes, he's right. We're all on the same side. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? He goes, we're all breathing. We're all in this together. And Tormund even pats John. He says, all right, bro, here's the keys. And then we have this classic hero scene. I mean, this is like an homage and new of them leaving the castle. The gates are opening, the blizzard. And I got to tell you, like, never considered Jorah handsome. But he looks pretty good, like, in this scene. Like, a bit like an old Han Solo on Hoth. I mean, he's got those steely blue eyes. If the Khaleesi could see him, he might have a chance just from this scene. And everyone looks very heroic, except for the Hound, and Thoros Amir is getting drunk, and the Hound's looking grouchy. And they march out into history, I think, and it's just a wonderful way to end the episode. Really, I mean, of course I would have wanted another 45 minutes, but, yeah, they head out into the blizzard and, the episode ends. Okay. So we'll talk about some of the facts that came up in this episode. The opening scene reminded me of this Neil Young song, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. And it goes a little something like this. Old man lying by the side of the road with lorries rolling by. Blue moon sinking from the weight of the load as the buildings scrape the sky. Cold wind ripping down the alley at dawn. In the morning paper flies. Something man lying by the side of the road with the daylight in his eyes. Don't let it bring you down. It's only castles burning. Find someone who's turning, and you will come around. A blind man running through the light of the night with an answer in his hand. Come on down to the river of sight and you can really understand. Red lights flashing through the window in the rain. Can you hear the sirens moan? White cane lying in a gutter in the lane if you're walking home alone. Don't let it bring you down. It's only castles burning. Just find someone who's churning and you will come around. So it's just like a Neil Young song I love. And it means something different, but I don't know. It just reminded me of that. Then we had, Bran was on Snow Patrol with the Ravens. Then we had real Snow Patrol at the end. And then I said, wasn't there a rapper who did a song, Informer, was in that Snow Patrol? And ends up, no. So let's get some clarification on some of these different famous, there's three famous Snows. Yeah, first off is the rapper or musician Snow, according to Wikipedia. Darren Kenneth O'Brien, a Canadian reggae artist who is known for his 92 single Informer, which is a song I sing to myself sometimes every once in a while, incorrectly. And he was born in Toronto. He's had a lot of ups and downs. DJ Marvin Prince, he met, and, he, also some legal disputes, with Marvin Prince, and he's been an international success since, the 1990s, collaborated with Cyndi Lauper even. So, so that's Snow, from Informer. Now, Snow Patrol, on the other hand, is a Northern Irish Scottish rock band. Gary Lightbody, Nathan Conley, Paul Wilson, Johnny Quinn, Johnny McDade, and they're an indie rock band that rose to prominence in the mid-2000s as part of the Britpop movement. They met at the University of Dundee, and you guys know Britpop. And hit single Chasing Cars, that was their hit single, and not a lot of other good facts that I have about them. Now, what about Snow Job? I mean, that's a saying, but this is a G.I. Joe character, and this was a G.I. Joe character my brother got for Christmas, and I was kind of upset about it. He's the snow-based G.I. Joe character. And there's some good facts. A fictional character. Oh, boy, it's fictional. Snow Job from G.I. Joe toy line. He's the original Arctic Trooper. His real name, Harlan W. Moore. He's a Staff Sergeant E6, was born in West Rutland, Vermont. Major Olympic biathlon. It's crazy. I have more facts about him. But he was an Olympic biathlon contender who enlisted for special training and support privileges the Army gives to Olympic champions. It's been suggested he got his nickname from being a con artist, that more than his military specialty and the Arctic Ski Patrol. Unlike some of the other environmental specialists on the G.I. Joe team, Snowjob doesn't thrive on the cold, but he accepts the chilly environments. They're the best place to show his incredible skills. He can ski down a steep slope. He's a marksman, and no one wants to be on the receiving end of one of Snow Job's scams. I guess like, oh, that's a snow job, like a con job. And he's a haze new recruits, but never outrageous. Just a way to keep his teammates perceptive and aware. So that's a snow job. Yeah, my brother Carl got him for Christmas. I wanted him. I think I got Snake Eyes, who was actually cooler. And the dude that came with the dog guy or something, pit bull or something. But I used my brother's snow job to recreate scenes from A View to a Kill when I was in like sixth grade, which I shouldn't have been still playing with toys. Apparently, that's how you get into the friend zone. That's one sign you'll be in the friend zone later in life. Proven by my imagination. The longer you play with toys, But who's laughing now? Okay, let's do another song. I think Dolly Parton probably sings my favorite version, but it was written by Jackie DeShannon, Jimmy Holiday, and Randy Myers. And this is a song we could use, and I don't know, I think it was like, oh, making the world a better place. Like, it comes up a few times in this episode. Put a little love in your heart. Think of your fellow person. Lend them a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart. Rewritten by Scoots. You see it's getting late. Oh, please don't hesitate. Put a little love in your heart. And the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Another day goes by and still the children cry. Put a little love in your hearts. If you want the world to know, we won't let hatred grow. Put a little love in your hearts. And the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Take a good look around. And if you're looking down, put a little love in your hearts. And I hope when you decide, kindness will be your guide. Put a little love in your heart. And the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Put a little love in your heart. Each and every day, put a little love in your heart. There's got to be a better way. Put a little love in your heart. Don't you think it's time we start, Dolly? You're right, to put a little love in our hearts. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, I thought there was one more thing, but moral equivalence. There was I was thinking that maybe Tyrion and Varys were practicing moral equivalence, but then I said, Scoots, do you know what moral equivalence is? I said, well, that's great, a great question, Scoots. Let's look it up. This is over at the Logic Place, over at yandu.wordpress.com, from August 13th, 2015, by, it's referencing Gene Kirkpatrick, but I don't see a, an author. So it's just, I guess the author would be Logical Place. Moral equivalence is a form of equivocation used in political debates, drawing comparisons between different, even unrelated things, to make a point that one is just as bad as the other, or one is just as good as the other. Drawing a moral equivalence in this way is an informal fallacy and a special case of false equivalence. Quoting still, a common manifestation of this fallacy is a claim often made for ideological motives that both sides are equally to blame. For a conflict. And historical studies show that this is rarely the case. Conflicts are usually started by one side with or without provocation from the other side. And an early popularizer of this expression was Gene Kirkpatrick, ambassador of the United Nations during the Reagan administration, who wrote The Myth of Moral Equivalence in 1986. So that's interesting, and maybe they were, because they were kind of saying, well, I don't know, I think it was maybe a little bit different than that, but not too much different. And with that, I think the last thing was glowering, which I looked up, but it didn't show up in the notes here. But, you know, it's basically what I do all the time. It's a feud face. Glowering is a feud face. I wanted to share because in the Google, if you Google it, it shows that it was peak in the early 1900s, its usage. Let's keep the show going.
Okay, Budman. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, K-Pounce listeners, we now interrupt you, especially interrupt your special shows for this message from K-Pounce Radio and the team at K-Pounce Radio. Remember, you're listening to K-Pounce, the radio of cats and boys that are best friends everywhere. Oh, Podman, and boys and girls and cats and friends beyond the binary, please, Podman, remember that.
Jeepers creepers, thanks, though. Thanks. This is Professor Berlinghoffer Isringhauser, whatever. They don't have my name. Bad man. Okay, time to just go. Well, how am I supposed to remember my name? Just get in the character. Okay, let's take a breath. Okay. You're Professor Berlinghoffer. Isringhauser and Berlinghoffer is great for now. Maybe they, and if we get it wrong, we'll just... Oh, okay. Yeah, but get on the mic. Okay. Hello, this is Erlinghauser Berlinghoffer. Professor, from you may remember me as a guy that got temporarily displaced by Jean-Luc Picard, inventor, a genius, and I'm here with my best friend and partner in business and life, Gene. Gene, say hello.
Man.
Thanks, Gene. And we here working with K-Pounce Radio, trying to find solutions for these modern times you people live in. And Gene and I have been, you know, I've traveled the universe and also traveled your towns and villages and said to myself, I've heard many people, now many hucksters and oil salesmen and things, and they say, oh, well, this is a solution for being healthy. They call it, you call it exercise. I call it a waste. When someone could carry you, or a spaceship, or as I to travel time and space, just waiting the day that I'll teach Jean-Luc Picard a lesson for thinking he got the upper hand on me and sending my spaceship back. When my book comes out, Berlinghoffer's, I don't have the second half of the title yet because someone can't even give me a script with my name on it. But hello, I'm also, this is Prince Tom, and hello, everybody. I'm again pretending, I'm doing my best pretending a character. But you know, the Podman's difficult to work with. And that's not Gene. That's Sapounce. Say hello to our friends.
Yes, man.
That's right, Sapounce. I missed you all, but I like being a character too. So this is Berlinghoffer, Isringhausen Berlinghoffer. And I want to say to all you, do you spend money with exercise or do you avoid exercise? Because we here at the Berlinghoffer Institute and K-Pounce Radio have a VIP. Now, only if you consider yourself a VIP. Do you think you could, if you had had the opportunities that I did to be royal, that's like almost a VIP. I don't know if you consider yourself a VIP, but we're looking for a few VIPs who are tired of the mundane plebeian ways of exercising, of lifting weights that you purchase or going. I mean, who would go to a place? Oh, goodness, but you could come to our place. Now, here at K-Pounce Radio, you have to come in. This is a real exercise program, supervised and scientifically brought to you from both the future and the past. And it's an exercise program. We've been long at work because it's so the shipping and the handling, I didn't realize. Anyway, we've developed a stringent exercise program. You will come. You will. It is like a camp, too. Also like the summer camp in the Munsters. Adam's Family movie. I think I have a crush on, Podman saying stick to the script that's barely legible. But this just in. Gene, what did the engineering room just say?
Answer, man, I'm the man.
Oh, yes, this is a very temporary deal. Limited to only, not only VIPs, but people that only can act now. And you'll go to our special, exclusive location, cash in hand, but prepay before you get here. You need to prepay before you arrive, actually. So no cash in hand, unless you drop it off, leave, and then come back. And you might say to yourself, how much is it worth looking good, feeling good, exercising? What if all my exercise problems could be gone forever? And it could feel like a VIP. Also, you'll in a summer camp where you'll be bunking, drinking water, and maybe eating some things we provide for you. It's occasionally. No, I don't want them to have my Pop-Tarts, Podman. We here at the Berlinghoffer Institute the short news is, if you can sign up today, you'll get access to our exercise program. It's the handling in the shipping exercise program. Very exclusive, very effective. Instead of weights, you'll be lifting, because they say in exercise circles that I run in, you might hear about all these silly things, you know, dancing. How often do you dance? But how often do you have to lift a bag? That's called functional strength, believe it or not. Right, Gene?
Yes, man.
Yeah, or a cat that's eaten too much without my permission. If you need to lift those things, like you're a human being doing stuff, a human doing being, this may be the exercise program for you, but only if you've considered yourself also a VIP. Is that enough of the VIP, Podman? Do you think I got him? Okay, keep going. Yeah, so we've developed a special, you'll be here working out, until we get you ship shape. We'll be doing a special thing. We have filling orders, we call it. We have taping. Oh boy, that is, you know, the Karate Kid did things just like this, and see how it worked for him. So proof is in the pudding. You won't have any pudding, but you will be putting things into boxes, crumbling newspapers. Have you ever seen the forearms of someone that crumbles newspapers 4 hours a day? Because I have been doing it for 8. And I've never looked better, I've never felt better, and I wouldn't give you the opportunity. But again, only if you consider yourself almost royal. You'll join our special packing stuff for exercise program. And not only that, now, you also have to ask yourself, are you a VIP or are you a member of the VIP program? Because when you go to check out at a website, you'll have to choose one of those two things. If you're a regular VIP, you'll just be working out and you'll receive exclusive orders from Gene and I. But if you join our VIP program, you'll also be acknowledged by Gene and I during the orders by name, by a special nickname we give you, if you're wearing your name tag. Shouting, now I don't know how many of you saw the original Willy Wonka, but I've seen it 5,000 times and I love it every minute. But I'll be like the guy when everyone was unpacking the candy. You'll be packing the candy. That's how we've set it up, this exercise program. When there's orders for the other products we sell here at Berlinghoffer Enterprises. And so that's it. Decide. Do you want to spend... Now, how much is your health worth? $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. Well, for the low, low price of $1,000, we'll get you in shape. For the low, low price, Gene, wait a second. That can't be right. Oh, Gene's saying the water-free program. If you bring your own water, it's only going to be $999. And if you want to be acknowledged by Gene and I, it's only $2,000. Oh boy, Gene, you're kidding me. $1,999. And that's a week, every week. Non-option. When you can, you first, you'll have to sign all the papers before you come. And you will need, because one is for a power of attorney. So make sure those are signed and notarized, the control room's telling me. Gene, you look like you're in great shape. Have you been doing any of this?
Meow.
Yeah, no, you have not. You've been licking boxes and smelling them and hiding in them. Just being around our exercise program, you look great, Gene. And I feel great, but I need some help. There's many paper cuts. Also, we'll be treating you in how to treat paper cuts, because you'll probably get a few. And so that's it. You can help K-Pounce Radio. All of this goes to K-Pounce's mission of boys who are best friends with cats. And a special candy fund that Sir Pounce has embezzled into his belly. And so that's it. I'm happy to return you to. So make sure to sign up if you care about being a VIP and exercise. It'll be life changing. And it'll especially change all my life because it's too much work with all the other orders coming in. Please, please do this. Gene, do you have anything to say before we go?
Amen.
Right. Get in here and get it done. That's what you're going to be doing. And you could call me King Tommen, because that's what I'll be going by when I'm telling you what to do and getting you shipshape. This is Professor Islinghoff of Berlinghouse signing off without a script with his real name on it. Thank you, Podman. And that's it for get on the mic. We now return you to regular scheduled program on K-Pounce Radio, the radio best boys, girls, and friends beyond the binary, best friends with cats. And cats, K-Pounce Radio. Oh, thank you. That's good. You fixed it. Yeah, good thing you didn't say dogs, because no, Regine, meh, no dogs. You can have a dog. K-Pounce Radio. Get your own radio for dogs. Goodbye. Crone, sweet, sweet Crone, Miller Smith, Barky Jester. Hey. And not the kind of hay horses have, that's kind of a joke. Crone, sweet, sweet Crone, Miller Smith, Barky Jester, probably shouldn't start a prayer with a joke, huh? How about an ode? Oh, hey, to the gods old and new and newer than new and wiser than wise. Sweet, sweet Crone, Barky Jester, Hound, sweet Crone, Miller Smith, Barky Jester. Sorry about that, Miller Smith, Miller and Smith. Miller and Smith, if you had a son, would you call him Miller Smith? That's very, I could see quarterback, for high school quarterback, Miller Smith. In the class ahead of me, there was a football player with the last name Smith, and there was someone with the last name Miller who was very good at lacrosse. So, sweet, sweet Crone, Miller Smith, Barky Jester. This is going to be a lesson, a prayer, a praise within a lesson, within a... Because I learned this week what you needed to teach me, that A-C-C-E-P-T-A-N-C-E. And so I guess they should have an ode, because how far I have to go, but how short the journey to see my shortcomings, but accept them, and know it is but a reflection of my limitations. Oh, my shortcomings in the mirror look like limitations. And I know that I need to say, oh, Crone, sweet, sweet Crone, who was that young man? Who was that man making jest at you earlier this passing weeks? Who was a young man without the courage to say, hey, Crone, throw me a bone, felony phone? You know, the FBI was tapping Chuck D's telephone. Oh, no, that was that Flavor's telephone. But, Crone, you know, I don't realize. I don't realize, and I forget. And so I spread my arms open and say, Crone, you're great. I accept that you may be limited, and your Godhead may not be the size I imagine it to be. Totally normal size, probably, Crone. And I accept the lessons you bestow on me, like the drip, drip, drip that gets, you know, like I don't know if I'm a stalactite or a stalagmite, and I don't know if this is the 50th time I've used that metaphor. So I don't know if I'm growing from the ground up or from the top down or both at the same time. But Crone, I know your wisdom is guiding those drips, drip, drip, dripping. Piling up the wisdom, one tiny film of limestone at a time, Crone. But I, you know, I'm a god headless, I'm without, you know, I have no, and I can't see it, Crone. Except when you teach me this acceptance to say, whoa, slow it down, you don't know nothing. And I do know that, But I forget how to embrace that and say, well, she said, yeah, I don't know anything. The crone, I was right about one thing, and you two last week was right about it, too. You do work in mysterious ways, crone. Sweet. They just forgot the extra sweets. Like the crone, she works in sweet, mysterious ways. Oh, boy, does she. And maybe Scott and Sky could talk to Bono about, or the Edge, about how sweet your moves are, crone. So thanks for your dripping, or dry, you know, I don't know if I'm coming top down or bottom, you know, I guess I'm coming from the bottom to the top. Also, I don't know which one is, am I a stalag or a sagtus? Stalactites or stalagmites? I don't know. I'd rather not be either. If we're going to shorten it, I'd just rather be a stalag than a mite or a tight. So anyway, thank you, crone. Totally 100% to this week, you know, full acceptance of my limitation. I accept my limitation to fully embrace you because I'm limited. What can I say? Otherwise, I would accept you fully. And that's Crohn's, Miller. Oh, Miller. Oh, how those who love you toil away. And, you know, the wheel, you know, goes round and round. And as that Billy saying, will it go round in circles? It will. When that mill's going, it's going, Miller. And it feels, but sometimes we got to step away. You're right, though, Miller, when we say we got to accept it and step away. All the mill does is grind. We're not a mill. We're a miller. And you, oh boy, Miller, do I forget that? Sometimes I forget. I don't see the mill for the mill, you know, the miller for the mill, just like they say about the stars and stuff. And then I forget about the whole other level that I'm both the milled and the baked, I don't know. Am I the milled and the baked? Am I I probably could use some extra bran. I don't know if you've been right. I probably told you that before too, but it's a circle. We're going around in circles, Miller. And I forget how badly I got to get ground down. You know, if I'm going to get, you know, processed into something, I don't know if I'll be savory or sweet. If I'm stalactite or stalagmite, probably neither and neither. But, you know, maybe some limestone water would be good will I be leavened or unleavened, Miller? Because lately I've been feeling stone ground and unleavened. But I know that's, again, I just got to I got to accept either my yeasty side or my, you know, my non-yeasty side. And sometimes I just got to say lavash because it's such a podcasty word, lavash. And maybe I could greet the day with that lavash, and maybe that day won't be. Maybe it'll be some other form of flatbread. Or maybe it'll be a risen, maybe I'll rise up and see a risen loaf right at the foot of my bed, placed by the miller, and then I'll say, well, I'm, the, you know, so anyway, Miller, you know, remind me to, keep reminding me to accept that it's more than just the ground part. There's many more stages because there's both a mill and a miller. And the other parts of me. So thank you, Miller, for that lesson. Oh, Smith, you know, with the anvil and all those things. I guess I have hard times. I guess if I could go back, no offense, Smith. Don't let the Miller hear this. But I guess you're not working double duty, but you kind of are, the two of you. You're the workhorse gods. I guess that's why you would have that. If you have a son that's a quarterback, don't put any pressure on him. Accept him like you've accepted me, Smith. You see how he did that? Did you just accept that move I just made, Smith? Because I'm accepting the hard work you're doing on me. Holy, and you know, holy hammer blows. I feel like a glass jaw Joe some of the time when I'm trying to sneak in these things that remind, like, what are these? You know, when one thing reminds me of another thing, even though those were body blows, I know, Smith, I know you know. But all that hard work you're doing on me, And then you say, geez, still too many impurities in there, but that's what makes him shine that way. I don't shine bright like a diamond. I know I don't do that, Miss Smith. But keep forging me. You know, sometimes I forget whether I'm on the forge or in the anvil or sizzling in that water. Or I've yet to be you're right, Miller. I need to remain malleable at all times. You know, we can't always be white hat, right? I'd like to be white, though, if you're keeping a list, I'd like to be white hat at some point. And laser sharp, or, you know, razor sharp or laser sharp, either one of those, if you do have plans for me, that would be great. But I'll accept whatever, that's what I'm doing this week, is just accepting the, how great you are, striking that anvil, striking while the iron's hot, and like you do the work. I guess that's the thing, you do the work. I'm supposed to just kick back. I guess that's what I got to accept, is you're doing the work. Some reason that just seems to go against culturally. I don't think we believe that in America here. And then I would say, well, you do the work, I'll do the worrying. It would be my belief system. But I'm trying to replace it with yours. You let the crone do the all seeing and the all, let the miller do the grinding. Let the smith do the work. Scoots, just kick back. There's no reason. You don't got to do the worrying when the miller's at work. You just got to accept it. Or when you mix up the smith and the miller, that they accept your apology. Sorry about that. Or when you kiss your hand and you pretend it's a maiden and you get caught in public doing it, and someone posted on Instagram, you got to accept those things too, right, Smith? Because maybe that's just your stroke. Maybe that was when I was white hat. If I'm white hat like that, I'd rather not be white hat, I guess. So let me just accept the work you do, Smith. Thank you, Miller Smith. Barky. Holy moly, Barky, one thing I don't have trouble accepting is you, because you put a smile on my face, so maybe I gotta accept the cartwheel of the smile, the frown, and say, hey, sometimes, sometimes Barky's digging deep, sometimes Barky's just silent as a tree, and the answers don't come. Except in the sound of the wind in your branches, right, Barky, or the wisdom of the wrinkles in your trunk. So sometimes I just got to accept, the mystery of how the heck, what is cambium? That's one mystery that still hasn't been resolved. But also, how do you do it, Barky? How do you stay, how do you put such a smile on my face? How do you make me think of Dancing Groot every time? How do you take all those electronics I leave for you and rust them up and so I can't return them? Oh, Barky, keep me accepting, accepting of your smile, your shade, and your bird droppings. Thank you, Barky. Oh, Jester, let me just accept your laughter at my foibles, as we say here in this season. Let me accept your grins and your laughs and your giggles and your snickering. Let me accept you take, every time I say, well, I know you're not the actual maiden, but you say, well, actually, I've got a date with the Jester. Oh, boy. Another one bites the dust, Jester. Help me accept that it doesn't need to be funny for me to laugh at it, right? It just has to be my mistake. Like, I can laugh at being human. And if I can't laugh at myself, I can accept that you're laughing at me and with me, right, Jester? So I can accept that. And that it's pretty sweet from your view. And then maybe you're even saying, see, you wouldn't want to be, I could still laugh at that. Thank you, Jester. Thank you for the acceptance, gods. Crone, sweet, sweet crone, Miller Smith, Barky, Jester, hound dog god. Just accept, just accept your bad words. Good night, gods.
I want to thank some more people that wrote reviews on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, they call it now. One podcast I would never subscribe to. The first listen, like so many others, I was thinking, what on earth is going on here? But this amazing podcast, my son has ADHD and can't fall asleep. He also does with this. I also use it if I want to drop off quickly. But there's one time I didn't fall asleep because I'm a massive Star Trek fan. Thanks for all your hard work. That's from Tracy L. in Australia. Can't imagine sleeping without it. This is from Maya Riamaya. I can't remember how I fell asleep before discovering this podcast. Been listening for 6 months every night. I became a patron today because I get so much value out of this podcast. I'm a night owl. It's hard for me to wind down and get to bed. I had, worry about getting to sleep, but now I put on my sleep phones, turn on the podcast, feel immediately comforted and happy about bedtime. I'm almost always asleep within the introduction if I wake up, which thanks to young kids, I do. Put it right back on. I'm asleep within minutes. I don't know how or why this works, but it really does. I listen to audiobooks or This American Life to distract me. But sometimes those stories are too engaging. Keep Me Up, Sleep With Me works because it's just engaging enough, but not so engaging. It's hard to explain. You just got to try it. What is this sorcery? I tried this podcast after hearing a Jenna Marbles show. Oh my goodness. Gone after 10 minutes. Awesome. Recommending it to friends. And this from I Am Bell in Australia. Thank you. How about Stakilda? Stakilda, it's like a kilt. Just the best. I love this podcast. Helps me fall asleep. Scooter's the best. Bedtime with Scooter. This is from Reese. Love this podcast. Senseless jabber and Scooter's voice. Keep your mind off whatever's keeping you up. This person didn't like it. What was it? Was it boring? I got bored and changed podcasts. This from MC Confuse. Hilarious. It works for me. Faith, 9215. I never heard the end of one of these. That's all that needs to be said. This person doesn't like the ads, and they would only donate one time. They don't want to commit to $5 a month. So not much I can do. You, Polk, from Canada, sometimes hilarious, somehow hilarious and boring. Don't remember an episode yet. Another person that doesn't like the ads. There's no ads scattered through the podcast, but there's no way to keep the archives free. So, I don't know what to tell you. Corn Sad from the UK, works like a treat, but, the volume levels are a little off. The Insomniac's best friend, that's from Buzzing Bee from New Zealand. Getting ready to sleep, creaky dulcet tones whisk you away. Great stories, thank you. Ansel Lee from the USA says, I have trouble with sleep, now this helps me get back to bed. Young Cushy, anxiety be gone. Bad blessing for us all if you're the kind of person who has fond memories of drifting off to background noise. And, well, friends, this podcast is designed just to replicate that. There are moments when you laugh at how silly it is, and then before you know it, you're waking up. I usually go through 5 or 6 episodes a night, but if you aren't struggling with insomnia, it's relaxing, and the host is a nice person to relate to. Thanks again, colleagues and friends, into it. And Vegan Amy from Ireland says, essential part of my nighttime routine. Originally heard from Georgia on my favorite M. Your good friend Georgia, when I first heard the podcast, I didn't really enjoy it, but I gave it time. So helpful, I can't sleep without it. I actually found myself laughing out loud at some of the episodes. I recommend this to anyone having sleep problems. Thanks for everyone for reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. You can go over there and review the show too if you want. Thanks and good night.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my weeks in review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts,
in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.